Digital Free Thought Radio Hour.
First I was a Catholic girl, loved the mass, I watched the swirl of smoke from candles burning, while Mary looked up yearning. I got confirmed and I confessed, I really felt that I was blessed. Plus I loved my uniform, so did the boy who lived next door. But something changed when I became of age, and all those things I thought were true, someday I'd break the big taboo of letting go of God.
Digital Free Thought Radio Hour is a call-in talk radio show about atheism, free thought, rational thought, humanism, and the sciences. And conversely, we also talk about religion, religious faith, gods, holy books, and superstition. And did you know that we have an atheist call-in television show broadcasting here in Knoxville? Did you know that, Wombat?
Yes. Both Terry and I both know about it. We think it's a great game.
Game?
I think what's really cool is they decided to really embrace the RPG mechanics.
RPG.
More so than any other Assassin's Creed in the past. But it's a very long game.
No,
if you're willing to put in the commitment,
it's not a game.
Very good.
It's a TV show. It's an atheist call-in TV show. And it's been broadcasting here on Community Access TV for over 8 years. A lot of people don't know that, so I like to tell them. Let's see. If you wanted to learn more about it, you could go to, you could go right now over to, Comcast Channel 12, if you've got Comcast Cable, or Charter, Channel 192, because it's right in the middle of the show. It's, they go from 6:30 to 7:30. Of course, we recommend that you turn the audio down and DVD it, because we're on, and we don't want you to change over to the TV show. Anyway, it's called Free Thought Forum. It's on every Wednesday between 6:30 and 7:30. And if you want to, you can go to YouTube and look up some of the old archives that a fan has been posting. Just go to look for Free Thought Forum Knoxville. And if you're interested in becoming involved in the TV or the radio show, just come to an ASK meetup or RET meeting and talk to us about it. You can be a guest host or a co-host on our next TV show or radio show. Anyway, what kind of content do we want to offer tonight? What topic do we have there, Wombat? Would you like to lead us into it?
Sure, not a problem. I'd first like to do a little introduction of my friend Terry Whitworth, who's here, whose name is Truth Chaser / Seeker, but Truth Chaser. Terry.
The Seeker.
You've been working around the Street Epistemology Facebook group for a while, and now part of the league, helping us out with reviews and really, really great feedback. Would you mind, I guess, talking a little bit about yourself? You said you were in Washington, or Seattle, Washington?
Yes. Actually, you might have changed my mind right now to change my name to Truth Seeker.
I like that.
Nice. So I guess what persuasion are you with regard to your religious background, and has it changed fundamentally over the years?
Oh, boy, has it. I grew up in the LDS Church, the Mormon, and I quickly went from that into really heavy conspiracy theories. And then as I learned more and more about having good tools to, you know, find the truth, I started watching Street Epistemology videos, and kind of where I'm at today, and I now call myself an atheist.
Wow. How did you leave LDS? Because it tends to have, like, pretty good grips in people, and did you lose it for the sake of, like, conspiracies such as, like, flat world Earth and stuff like that?
Well, that's an interesting phenomenon that came later after I left the conspiracy movement. But mainly it just didn't align with my ideologies. I kind of knew at a really young age. It always seemed like fairy tales to me.
Mm.
And so it never really sunk in that way to me. It was always kind of a story that was out here. And I got in some trouble at 16 with my parents for basically saying I don't want to go to church anymore. And
yeah,
I left the house for about 6 months before they had me back.
So you did go on a mission. Of sorts.
Yeah. I'm lucky I avoided that.
Yeah. How do you feel about your education in the LDS Church? I mean, do you feel like you got a pretty good education?
As far as their theology?
No, I'm talking about a regular, like, scientific education or social education. How do you think it stacks up against, like, people who came up in a public school or something?
Right, that's a good question.
Well, I actually did go to public school.
Okay.
A lot of people don't know, but the Mormonism, as far as, like, Utah Mormonism versus, uh-huh, like, the outer country of Mormonism in the U.S., it's quite a different theme. A different atmosphere than living in the heart of Utah.
Okay.
So my parents are college educated.
Okay, cool. No, I was just wondering if maybe a lack of education may have had something to do with you going into or falling for conspiracy theories, you know, after you got out of LDS.
Hmm. So you had mentioned that there's some major differences between growing up in the heartland of Utah as Mormon versus living in, like, more of a satellite area. What are some of those differences?
A little less insular, you know. You have contact with people who are not of the faith and many different faiths, whereas Utah, you might not experience that as much from what I understand.
Mm. Do you think...
But as far... Sorry.
I'm wondering, like, do you think, because you said it's more insular, is it the idea that you're not being challenged by other people's ideas as frequently or as often, you're not being exposed to different perspectives? Was that, like, a detriment that you've noted? And I guess the second question would be, how did you know that was a thing if you hadn't grown up in Utah?
Yes. Well, a lot of my family hails from Utah. So, actually, my great-great-grandfather founded Rexburg, Idaho, and Ricks College.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it's like ingrained part of your, like, family history, really.
Yeah, go back many generations of Mormons.
I can imagine leaving that kind of faith took more resolve than just, hey, this doesn't make sense to me. Like, what are some of, like, the internal, like, you knew there were going to be repercussions, and I guess, was there a period where you're just like, I don't want to cause more damage now, so I'm just going to play the role? You understand what I mean? Like, was there a period where you're just, like, willing to play along just so you can, like, maintain a certain sense of peace?
Oh, for sure. There's many stages that you go through growing up that milestones you're supposed to adhere to. One of them is baptism, and you're supposed to make that major decision at 8 years old.
Wow.
Or what's touted as a major decision. So... I went through with that even though I didn't want to, but I never told anybody about it.
Jeez. We were talking about how you give up a lot of things when you choose to, like, follow, like, for example, the prophet or a God or a religious belief, Jesus Christ, et cetera, whatever have you. It sounds like there was a lot that was given up as part of your transition. Would you say, like, you sacrificed, like, a great deal in terms of, like, coming out of your religion? And if you wanted to, would you want to touch on some of those?
You know, I guess that could be one of those positive stories where it didn't seem to affect me much because of not being in that isolated place, like, say, Utah, where you might not have... Or you might have less places to turn to. I had secular friends, Christian friends that kind of understood where I came from and supported me during that change.
Well, that's great.
That's so good.
But you did lose contact with your family for about 6 months or so?
Oh, yeah. For about 6 months, my parents just said, if you don't go to church, you can't be in this house.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I walked out the door with my clothes on my back and walked down the road. And as everyone went to church, they stopped and asked me what was wrong.
Really?
And I walked down to a friend's house.
So. You were how old?
Oh, probably about 15 or so.
Wow.
Gee whiz, dude.
And they let you at that age. That's just terrible.
It's really, really bad.
But, you know, they let me back in the house eventually, and we just kind of agreed to disagree until I finished high school and went on to college.
Well, that's good.
I don't know. It's good that I don't even know if that's good, to be honest with you. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know if there's like a situation like that. That's like a huge black eye or a lack of parental guidance. Shit. I understand. And listen, I don't have kids. Larry, you do.
I have a stepdaughter.
You have a stepdaughter. I feel like the goal of a parent is to do is always to have the best interest of the child. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
When you fail to do that, isn't there like a huge lapse in parentalhood that doesn't necessarily resolve itself when you let your kid move back in after kicking him out for 6 years old, despite being a child, you know? Like, at a certain point, you're just like, you know what, I thoroughly messed up. Like, if I don't even get an apology out of that, like, there is, like, some sincere issues going on here. I would still be upset. I'm glad, Terry, that you have, like, the ability to, like, you know,
crash
see this
friends.
In stride. But, I'm glad you have your friends, too. You seem like a really cool guy. I wonder how... Even when you were able to move back in, like, it couldn't have just been one feeling of, oh, thank goodness I get to move back home. Like, there has been a lot of mixed feelings there.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's definitely some shouting matches and that, but I was never one to go out of my way to break a rule to, you know, prove a point. So right. I followed, you know, all the other rules. It was just this main theological debate that we had to hammer out until I left. So
did right. did you have major debates over the theological teachings of LDS, or were you more like, well, you know, we just won't talk about it while we were around each other? We'll talk about everything else. How did that go?
You know, it kind of just came in waves of, you know, I mean, obviously there was some shouting matches going on eventually about how I don't believe, but
yeah.
Ultimately my parents they're a lot older parents, and they're probably just done dealing with teenage years, so they kind of just let it go as long as I wasn't smoking and drinking. Yeah. And
what would you say you guys are at now? Are they aware that you've completely not only left the faith, but like are, I guess, would you call yourself an atheist now?
Yeah, I definitely identify as an atheist now. Probably in the past 3 or 4 years, I've taken on that.
Okay, we're identity, about to think about... Yeah.
Yeah. But I haven't told my parents yet.
Well.
They're a little too old, I think, to deal with that.
Yeah. I'm 68 myself, and I never told my parents. My dad died.
Wow.
Dad died when I was 28, but mom didn't die until like 2000, so it's about 50 then. I never told him. So I was in the closet all of that time, 30 something years, and I only came out of the closet after they died, and was able to start, you know, the ASK group, or the atheist group here in Knoxville, and have a lot of atheist friends at that time. It's really worked out well. Wow. We have 800 and something members now.
It's worked out really well for you, Larry. I wonder though, after spending that much time in the closet, do you feel like you would have gotten to where you're at sooner if you were able to just be more outspoken about it?
Well, yeah, I think so. Things weren't as bad, I don't think. And this is kind of strange. I mean, I became an atheist in the 70s, which is after the raging 60s, where everybody was going off in every different direction and all that. But I still didn't feel like it was important enough for me to come out of the closet. I mean, you know, I was an apatheist, as it were. I'd let people do their own thing. I'd do my thing, and there's no reason to rile up all this stuff. But the reason I actually came out, I didn't have to, of course. Nobody has to. But 9/11 happened with religious people literally attacking America and killing thousands of people. George W. Bush started taking my hard-earned tax money and giving it directly to religious organizations, which is unconstitutional and is still going on. It's called faith-based initiatives. It's against the Constitution. I can't imagine why Obama didn't put a stop to it or at least try, but he never mentioned it one time in 8 years. And the other thing that happened at the time was I was reading a book by Carl Sagan called A Demon-Haunted World. I highly recommend it to anybody who wants to follow up on that. But it really highlights the problems that religion and magical thinking and superstition has caused humanity down through the ages, and particularly once the church got a hold of it and was able to do something like an inquisition, where they literally had the power of the state to haul you in and torture you until they could at least get you to say that you believed. When I read that book and 9/11 happened and George W. Bush did his tax thing, it was just too much. I had to come out and start fighting it. So I didn't just come out of the closet. I came out of the closet and started an atheist group. And we've been going strong ever since. Anyway, what's the chances of an atheist group being started in Utah? Are there any now?
I'm not personally aware of any. I know, ex-Mormon Reddit, you know, there's a lot of support for people, secular and theist alike.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I guess they would find it hard going because all of the administration of the government is pretty much manned by LDS hierarchy. It's literally a theocracy, I understand. So that would be really hard to do.
Yes, yes, they're going through a lot down there right now. They have, I believe, one of the highest suicide rates of any city in the country.
Yeah, the highest drug
among youth.
Drug use. No, I mean among adults. What is it, antidepressants? Mm-hmm. It's one of the highest antidepressant use. I mean, they stay away from alcohol and coffee, but they'll certainly use those antidepressants there because they'll need them.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Just want to ask a question centered around, like, when do you let your parents know, if at all? Terry, do you ever think there will be a day, you know, sans waiting for a terrorist event to completely shape American politics, where you imagine that you would feel comfortable enough letting your parents know?
I don't think that I'll probably ever let them know about that. Unless they ask specifically. I mean, I have told them about street epistemology as a hobby and kind of what it entails, but they don't really dig any further into it, and I don't tell them.
Okay. Do you rely on them for, like, financial security or, like, housing or anything like that right now?
Oh, no, I don't. I've been around for a long time.
Okay. You're entirely independent. Would you imagine then that the reason why you aren't telling them is just to maintain whatever relationship you guys have right now?
Not necessarily. I just kind of know where they stand. I believe they're just so dogmatically closed at this point that I don't see a reason to challenge that.
Okay. In the event that they did find out, would you imagine, and we can't really know this 100% either way, but do you think they would, after they throw a tantrum, would go through the lengths to try to maintain a relationship with you again, as they had before?
Yeah, I think our relationship would still continue, probably on its course.
Okay.
Although they might say some things to me.
Sure, of course. My mom currently is a Jehovah's Witness. And she's been a Jehovah's Witness for, like, maybe about the last 6 years or so. When I told her I was an atheist, I did that knowing that she wasn't going to become an atheist immediately, or that she would say, hey, congratulations. I knew that wasn't going to be a deal.
Yeah.
But, like, I knew in my head that she did care a lot about me, and that I wouldn't be able to convince her that I was an atheist, but I could convince her that the next time she hears atheists or someone say, hey, you know, those terrible people like atheists, she's going to, the first person that she'll think of is me. And by her knowing that I'm one, that's a very, and that I'm living a positive, healthy lifestyle, you know, that I'm giving back to the community, that I'm working, that I'm paying off my bills, that I'm
sure.
paying on a drug.
Paying taxes.
And trying to do, be a good citizen.
Yep.
That colors how she thinks about atheists in a very, very fundamental way that she can't ignore, even if she wanted to. And every single time she invites me over, and every single time I'm respectful to her, and she says, I don't want to worship this holiday because she doesn't worship holidays. I'm like, I'm totally fine with that. To me, it's not a big deal either. If you just want to hang out over Christmas, it's not a big deal.
Right.
We don't need Christmas tree.
Yeah.
But when I'm being open and pleasant around her, when we have a good time, she spent time with an atheist. And that's something that, you know, she wouldn't necessarily get a lot of exposure to if she hadn't known that ahead of time. And that's why I think while I wouldn't encourage someone to do it if they weren't comfortable, I do think there's a lot of value in having people know what an atheist looks like. What do you think?
Yeah, I totally agree that, you know, the best way is to represent yourself well. You know, and maybe I will someday. I can't say. Right now it's just kind of a never. But, and I definitely let everyone else around me know.
Okay.
At least a little bit.
Yeah. Chances are, I mean, we've had people, even in our messenger group, hide it. And then someone else told the parents, more or less, and the parents found out. And the thought situation from that was unique in the sense of, because they found out about it in a way that the son didn't tell them about it, it was almost treated as if it was like a criminal thing, like a bad thing. Like, we caught you! And he's like, no, I could explain everything. But there was value, I imagine there's value in just being like, oh, by the way, I don't eat carrots. I was like, oh, okay, why do we care that you don't eat carrots? Like, yeah, it's not a big deal, is it? It's like, no, I was upfront about it. It wasn't like something you discovered on my part. It was something I was just wanting to tell you because it's not a big deal. And then it's now up to you to be comfortable with the fact that I don't eat carrots. In that sense.
Yeah.
And I figured the more mundane you can treat it, because it is a pretty mundane, not believing something, the better. And I do think there's value there. But I wouldn't encourage someone to do it if they were like in a financially stable situation or financially dependent situation, or if they just really, really want to maintain that relationship at all costs. I think those are both good reasons to keep doing what you're doing. But
right.
I do think there's value on the opposite end as well. Just saying there's positive sides to both.
Yeah. Truth Seeker, you said you were in the Pacific Northwest, up there in like Washington area?
Yeah.
I've heard that statistically there's quite a few non-believers up there. I have heard like there's like 25% of the population are non-believers. Have you found that to be true? Or is that the reason that you moved up there?
Very secular. But I would say that there's just as many churches on the street corner up here in my neck of the woods as down south.
Oh, okay.
There's definitely a big theist presence.
Yeah. Well,
I think it's outweighed by the city.
Yeah, well, the way the Constitution is set up in the U.S. laws, it does kind of promote the proliferation of churches, non-taxable status, and very little IRS inquiry into the reports that they turn in. So I can understand that people would take advantage of the laws, you know, pretty much anywhere in the country. But I was just wondering about the day-to-day people that you meet.
I kind of a mixed bag. I actually work for a company that identifies itself as a Christian company.
Oh, really?
Although they don't, you know, have any direct work in Christianity.
Yeah. Are you out at work?
To some people.
Okay. I'm generally out no matter where I go. But, I mean, all they got to do is type in my name in Knoxville and it comes up. So.
Sure. Yeah, it's getting to the point where more people who just text my name can find all of my videos and stuff. So what I do is I just get ahead of the curve and just say, hey, this is the thing that I do, blah, 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 blah. And when anything, I found a lot of really cool ways to make people know that I'm not religious without saying like the A word. They would be like, oh, you know, like Bible, or I know a lot about that. I know a lot about that book. And then, but you know, I'm not coming from the point of view where I'm like, I'm definitely not a Christian, but I know a lot about that. And there's been enough conversations where it's just been like a really cool thing, because the more that I'm open about my atheism, the more I am desperately aware of the other people around me who aren't at my work.
Right.
And they are willing to come to me and be like, yeah, you also know I'm not religious, so let's talk about blah, blah, blah. Or when we're talking and someone brings up faith, we'll like all get quiet and give each other looks. Whatever, we keep doing our talk. But I can start to like pinpoint like, oh, now that I've been talking about this, I know like the majority of people around me at my work area are a little bit less conservative with their thinking, and that's actually kind of a rewarding thing to know. It's not as big of a wall as I had originally thought.
Okay, yeah, I never feel threatened at work for my beliefs.
Yeah. Well, very good. I'm really glad
people
to
have
hear
come
that.
Forward and talk to me.
Yeah. We're at the bottom of the hour, and I've got to do a station identification, and I'm going to play a song to give our voice a little bit of a rest. This is Digital Free Thought Radio Hour, 103.9 LPFM, live here in Knoxville, Tennessee. With us we have Wombat and the Truth Seeker. And we're going to take just a little bit of break. We're going to play Etta James. This is God's Song. And then we'll be back probably in about 4 or 5 minutes.
To multiply. Why must any of the children, why must they die? So we ask the Lord, and the Lord said, man means nothing, he means less to me cactus flower on the humblest yucca tree. Chases round the desert, 'cause he thinks that's where I'll be. And that's why I love mankind. I recoil in horror from the foulness of thee. All from the squalor and the filth and the misery. How we laugh up here in heaven at the prayers you offer me. And that's why I love mankind. The Christian having a tambourine, yeah.
listening to the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO 103.9 LPFM in Knoxville, Tennessee. Feel free to join in on the conversation at 865-333-5937. That's 865-333-5937. And now, back to the show. Digital Free Thought Radio Hour.
Simply the best.
And we're back. This is WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM, live right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. And now I want to talk about the free thought groups that you can join here in Knoxville. There's two or three of them, and I'll just go over them real quick. First, there's the Atheist Society of Knoxville, founded in 2002. We're in our 16th year. ASK now has over 880 members now, I believe, and you can find us online at knoxvilleatheist.org. Or you can go directly to meetup.com and search for Atheists in Knoxville. It's just that simple. Also, you can join ASK in person at our weekly meetup, which happens every Tuesday evening at Barley's Tap Room and Pizzeria in the Old City, where we get together for food, drink, and conversation. Everyone is welcome. That is, as long as you don't come to preach, proselytize, provoke, or punch. Thank you, Atheist Experience. By the way, if you don't live in Knoxville, you can still go to Meetup and search for an atheist group in your town. Don't find one? Start one. Another large free-thinking group here in Knoxville is the Rationalists of East Tennessee. They've been around for more than 20 years. RET has biweekly presentations and discussions at the Pellissippi State Campus near Hardin Valley Road. Just go to rationalists.org and click on upcoming events for more information. And then there's, of course, the Secular Student Alliance is coming back strong now. They have chapters in pretty much every high school and college that you might want to visit. If you'd like to be involved in the free thought movement or just would like to find some other free thinkers to hang with, everybody needs like-minded friends, and atheists are no different. And remember, if you want to call in and join our conversation, you can do so. The phone line is open, 865-333-5937. In Knoxville, that's 333-5937. Okay, let's bring the guests back online. Wombat, Truth Seeker, welcome back. Just want to make sure I can hear you say
something. Hey, what's up?
Yeah, there you go. I hear
you.
Hey,
I'm Ben, buddy.
Yeah. Okay, Wombat, you want to ask our guest, I think you wanted to talk to him about his SE experience.
Yeah,
so
we're talking to our friend Truth Seeker here, our friend Terry. Terry's been telling us about how he grew up within the LDS, some of the sacrifices he had to make towards leaving the LDS, and then getting his life back together through the helps of friends and a support group to help him get through a really rough time. But now that he's much healthier, like much financially stable, all that stuff, he's making repairs back with his family. I'm wondering how did you hear about SE, I guess? And then what do you think, what kind of value do you think SE can provide in like your current situation right now versus what you think you can do with it in the future?
I guess it all stems from I was always searching for truth in the world, you know, and I didn't have a good set of tools to determine that because I've been raised in a faith that put a lot of emphasis on feeling and prayer and faith. And so I just kind of followed the thread, and with my age and the internet, I went right into conspiracy theory. And, you know, because I still wasn't quite sure. But, you know, long story short, getting through that, I came out the other side. I started to see those ideals not lining up with, you know, the type of world I'd like to see. Very divisive. And so I can't remember exactly what got me specifically in SE, but I think I stumbled across Anthony's video where he does the test with Jehovah's Witnesses, and I believe he's claimed that that wasn't really even quite SE.
Right.
but that definitely had a big impact on me watching that, and then seeing more of his videos and seeing more of Reed, and I was like, wow, there's really something here that can get through to people without putting up those walls, without getting into arguments. So I started to learn the technique and started applying it to, you know, preconceptions I had about different topics. You don't even realize how much of that old self you carry over with you sometimes.
Yeah.
When you say you were trying to learn the technique, how did you go about that? Or, like, what is a good way to try to learn how to do SE yourself?
And also talk about the technique a little bit, if you don't mind. It's not like you're trying to learn tricks like an apologist would, try to trick your interlocutor. You're actually using certain logical techniques to be able to get him to think. Is that correct?
Yeah, for sure. It definitely helps to learn some of those basic logical fallacies that all of us fall into, theist or secular or atheist. You know, it's really easy to still fall in those traps. I think the technique ultimately is learning how to show other people those logical fallacies without using it as a debate tactic. Then you're doing this, you're walking them through that process of why that doesn't seem quite right at the end of it.
Right. Trying to get them to come to their own conclusions. Based on actual logic and introspection.
Which, you know, surprising to me, I've talked to people about SE and what I do, and they don't even realize that they've never even thought about the issue or their belief before.
They're not really encouraged.
A lot of times they almost get excited to go over it.
What do you think are some of the advantages of SE compared to other forms of dialogue with people, like arguments or debates?
Well, I guess what I found, you know, I don't know exactly how to answer that. I'm still pretty new into the SE game. But advantage I've found is if you want to introduce someone to that technique without having to actually bring them into it, sometimes I'll just tell them, you know, especially friends or family or coworkers, tell them what I do as a hobby, and maybe do a little fun, like, mind game. I believe Reed had an interesting one about falsifiability, the 248
test. Falsifiability 248
test?
What is that?
You put a set of numbers on a board, 248. And he said you can guess any set of numbers that matches the pattern or the, and so you can guess as many times as you want. And as soon as you think you know the rule or the pattern the numbers follow, you can guess what that rule is, and I'll tell you if you're right or wrong. A lot of time people guess numbers to confirm what they already think the rule is. And it takes a little bit longer than someone who tries to break the rule.
Right.
So the rule is very simple. It's just any numbers in ascending order. And, you know, to break the rule, you'd guess 3, 2, 1. And you'd say that doesn't follow the rule. And then that can get you closer a little quicker to what the rule is.
There's also a really a cool analogous game called Guess Who? And Guess Who, if you don't know about that game, is you have a bunch of pictures of people, of these little flipping panels, and everyone starts with the same set of people, about maybe like 30 people. And what you do is you pick one silently to yourself and ask questions to guess who the other person picked. I hope I got the name of the board game right. Guess Who, right? And there's two strategies that you can play. You could either, you know, always try to ask a question to hopefully get something closer to a confirmation. Like, I think he's picking someone who has freckles, so I'm just going to ask, does your character have freckles? And then if he says no, I'll be like, oh, dang it. So I'm going to put down that one picture that had a person with freckles in it and go to the next picture. Oh, I think you have glasses. Does your character have glasses? Or you can start to, like, try to min-max your questions or try to ask questions that won't necessarily give you a yes as an answer, but will tell you just as much information, whether it's a yes or a no. And that way, you, from your misses, you learn from them just as much as your hits, and helps you get to where you need to go much faster. I think it's in the same vein that a lot of people can learn a lot from, not from a no, a well-timed no, just as well as they could from a yes.
Oh, sure.
But a lot of people don't like getting that no. And I think, like, SE just makes you more comfortable with exploring things that aren't necessarily confirmations of what you believe, but understanding things in that murky area that you didn't really think about a lot. I think there's a lot of value in there. And it's kind of a cool thing. Terry, let me ask you a quick question. If SE didn't exist, what do you think you could do as an alternative to try to reach people? I'm always interested in questions like that.
Hmm. Well, I do love to argue.
Okay.
But, I don't know.
What about online, going to Facebook or doing a blog or something like that? Would you be interested in doing something like that?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I see what you mean. I actually have a blog up with one of my SE interviews written out.
There's definitely
some stuff on there.
You can mention your blog if you'd like.
Yeah, blog away.
Sure.
If you will.
It's wordquestblog.wordpress.com.
A WordQuest blog?
Yeah, just a WordQuest blog. At wordpress.com.
This looks like an email address.
Oh. I think it's just the hosting site is WordPress. So it's, yeah.
I see.
WordQuestblog.wordpress.com. Sorry.
Okay, I see it.
And I actually had a bunch of my conspiracy theories up there till a year ago.
Reddit. So. It's a Reddit blog.
Yeah.
Okay. Very cool. Yeah, you had a bunch of your what's up there?
I said I had a bunch of my conspiracy theories up there for a while started getting away from that.
I can imagine.
With the street epistemology methods that you're learning, you could probably burn through some of those conspiracy theories pretty quickly.
I want to talk about these sexy conspiracy theories that you're really convinced by. What are some of the most interesting ones that you were fully supporting?
That there was a evil Illuminati secret world order.
The deep state.
Controlling all the world powers like marionettes.
Mm-hmm. The man?
Yeah.
What was some of the evidence that you had to support that?
Oh my goodness!
I'm not getting
get back into it again.
Because I didn't have any good evidence to support it.
Yeah,
I just had evidence I thought was good evidence.
Sure.
Don't let that stop you.
Yeah. So, you know, I a lot of the people that were kind of in and around the internet at the time I was into it was. William Cooper just died, and Alex Jones is a thing, and there's tons of listening to old school Christians talk about the Luciferian agenda.
Do you think if you were to still hold those conspiracies now, but new SE, you'd be able to get rid of them on your own?
I think it's harder with conspiracy theories because they're not based necessarily, at least on the front of it, in faith or feeling. It's based on a lot of literature that's been produced over the ages about world government and how things should be. And
yeah, they tend to create their
own world. I didn't really realize how close those...
Self-fulfilling. Self-prophesizing. Mm-hmm. They're hard to break sometime, for sure.
Yeah, I can see that. That's cool. What else would you say was a really cool conspiracy theory? What's the coolest one that you had? I think that's the biggest one, but was there anything that was like bananas are trying to, you know, circumnavigate the globe without us knowing about it? Like, you're all the same. There's also this thing as a group of bananas. It's the same one. Like, did you have any, like, absolutely, like, what was this doing? I can't believe this is a thing that I had. Like, anything like that?
I'll lay it on you.
Okay, go for it.
There's actually a guy in Canada named Glenn Keeley, and he, you know, this was a road I started to go down, but, and I'll let you know what turned me off of it, but he believes that there were two races of humans in the past, and one was Neanderthals, and they got frozen in the ice and became some sort of mind supercomputer, and they controlled the world from underground. And they plan on melting half of the United States in 2020
yes.
under coal seams.
this is the best. And then I guess the Neanderthals are living underneath like the surface of the Earth and actually controlling everything. Not only is that an amazing sci-fi movie waiting to happen, but I guess like when you hear things like that now. Now that you've, like, you know, left your faith, now that you're, like, adopting a more rational means of discourse, like, do you feel, on your part, a gut urge to engage in that kind of rhetoric? And, or have you come to the point where you're just like, there's better times to have conversations like that. I don't need to have it right now. It's like, okay, that's a cool story, dude. All right, talk to you later.
Yeah.
I'm just going to keep a note on you. Like, do you still feel the urge to, like, talk to people about, like, irrational beliefs if they have them?
Of my own irrational beliefs?
No, of other people's irrational beliefs.
Oh, definitely. Well, let me tell you what turned me off from him.
Okay.
And got me down the road into secularism and atheism is that he came out eventually and said that he had found plates just like Joseph Smith did. And that Joseph Smith hadn't translated his correctly, but he had the correct plates, or he was searching for the correct plates on his farm there in Canada. And I thought, oh man, if I'm going to fall for that a second time,
yeah, well, how convenient that the plates would actually be on your own farm and not, you know, like in the middle of the desert out in Iraq or something. Yeah, I'm going to go search my backyard to find these God-given plates.
I do like the idea of what I found that has helped me is it kept me from having to engage because now I know I can do it. And now that I know that I can, I don't feel like I have to anymore. So I'm much more able to just say, oh, is that what you want? Cool. All right. Talking about movies or whatever. Like, it's not like I'm dismissing the argument. It's just like, I'm no longer carrying a spear to try to break down the argument because I know the argument isn't convincing. I know where the flaws are, and I know in a better situation I can explain that in a very, you know, persuasive manner. But I don't have to do it at every opportunity because sometimes it's exhausting, and other times you don't have to. It's like, no, okay, that's cool.
Yeah,
like, I'm confident enough
fights.
In my position where I'm like,
Yeah, you definitely have to pick
I'm also confident enough to just be like, That's fine with me. If you believe it, we'll move on. Just know where. Just know, like, it's not a. That urge to if someone is out there listening and they have like this urge, like always, you know, confront people about the religious beliefs, I found that Etsy is a great way to channel that in a much productive setting. So that way, when you have that encounter, you don't feel like that urge anymore. Kind of like a guy who like knows how to box might be less prone to street fights. I don't know, something like that. Just because they know, hey, I know how to take care of myself. I'm good. And this isn't a setting that I feel challenged about anymore.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. You know, kind of what we talked about earlier, you know, picking your battles. If you feel that you're at a comfortable place, there's no need to upset that. You know, obviously there comes a time for it, but you can pick and choose that time.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Larry, do you want to bring up any final points with regard to, I guess, the nature of the show from the start?
The nature of what show? This show? Or?
Yeah, like you had mentioned that the point was sacrifices. Was there any points that we didn't get today, like sacrifices as you come out of faith?
Well,
there any points that you want to bring up?
The topic that I wanted to hit, we really can't hit in the last 8 minutes of the show. So,
we hit.
Huh?
I guarantee you we hit some of those points.
I'd just like to talk about some of the things you said about not having to prove yourself now that you know that what you're capable of. I found that to be true in karate. I took karate for like eight years in the middle of my 30s, and I've had one fight since then, and it was over in like 2 seconds, 3 seconds. I got the guy in an arm lock and put him on the ground, but he just wouldn't stop. And that was just the way to end the fight. And I've never really felt the need to try to pick a fight to prove myself or anything because I had that confidence. And I was just going to say that I recognize that as a valid point. Once you feel like you have proved yourself or can prove yourself, there's no reason to go around demonstrating it all the time. But at the same time, if you have the need to demonstrate it, you know, in a situation where a guy has got you against the wall and won't let you go, verbally or in an argument or something, well, turn loose, you know, and make sure that he understands that that you have the skills to take care of the situation. It's funny, you come across all kinds of situations. I don't really do SE so much, but I will sit out at a table and do Ask an Atheist and let people walk up to me if they want to and talk to me about it. I did some of that today. And what you get is you get some people that'll come up to you and lay some bland thing out of the Bible on you and just grin at you like they've given you the wisdom of the world, checkmate, game over, and you're looking at them like, well, what next? I mean, that doesn't really make any sense. But what do you do? I mean, you can't really tell them that, you know, what they're saying is irrelevant. You know what a deepity is, right?
Why don't you explain it real quick?
A deepity is something like love is just a four-letter word. You know, it sounds deep on the surface. It sounds like it's got some wisdom in it. But on two levels, you know, on the first level, it sounds deep, but it's not. And where it's significant, it's not very deep. I mean, it literally is a four-letter word, no big deal. But it's not very deep. Just saying, it might as well say book is a four-letter word. But, I mean, you get these people who'll throw things like that at you and then expect you to treat it like it's profound. And then they just grin at you like, and then you go, what? But anyway, I digress. It's just something like that came up today, and I brought it up when you mentioned that, and I wanted to throw it out. We've got 5 minutes later left in the show. If you'd like to mention something that you've come across in SE that kind of made you go, what? If you want to bring it up.
So I'm working on like this appreciation article for the Austin community or atheist community of Austin. There's this idea of I don't know as a good answer. And I think a lot of people don't want to say it.
Yeah.
And I think it applies to both theists as well as atheists.
Sure.
Because I was recently watching like this atheist-sponsored program where there was an atheist host who was taking on a lot of unnecessary burdens. by Paul would say, and it's like, hey, prove that there's no God. And instead of them saying, like, actually, I can't prove that. Do you have a reason for me to believe in a God?
Right, right.
They went like, oh, well, I can, here's my list of facts right here, and I'm listening to the show, and I'm like, oh, no, this isn't good, because you're putting yourself on the hook, and all the Christian has to do is wait until you're done talking and say, that's not good enough evidence, therefore I'm right.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'd really encourage is for people who are in SE, especially, to understand that the agnostic position is the default position.
Right.
Not knowing something is where everyone starts.
Right.
Until someone brings up evidence for them to know
and
it.
You
and
don't
then
have
it's a question of, is that evidence reliable?
And you don't have to prove a claim until you make a claim. Don't make a claim. I would never say there are no gods, because they'll say prove it, and I don't have anything to back up that statement with. They say there is a God, and it's their God, and he created the universe and gave them the rules of morality. That's quite a few claims.
Yeah,
and I'll say prove it. But anyway.
Right.
We're down to about the last
minute.
Terry,
do you have anything you want to say to anything you want to say to close up the show?
Just kind of tail on the end of that.
Sure.
Is what I found really important is that every claim needs to stand on its own.
Right.
A lot of people like to, you know, make a bunch of zeros add up to a one.
Uh-huh.
And you got to hammer that out with them.
Yeah. And Christopher Hitchens would say that which is stated without evidence can be dismissed without evidence. And I find
good
that
point.
Fairly profound. Anyway, this has been Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. I want to thank our guests, Wombat and the Truth Seeker. Thanks
Truth
for coming
Seeker.
On. Happy
thank
to
you so
have
much.
You. You're welcome to join us anytime. Of course, Wombat, you're a co-host, so you can come back anytime. And this is the end of the show. We wanted to say, don't worry about hell. Everybody's going to somebody else's hell, so don't sweat it. This is Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. We'll be gone until next week. Say bye.
Bye.
And
bye. Thank you for having me.
Sure. See you later.
Listening to Wozo, the People's Radio, and WOZOLP.